hello, hello. Here's Marlanka again with another episode from Eckhart Tolle, The Power of the Presence of Now. Ego identification with the pain body. The process of understanding what the pain body is profoundly powerful yet simple. It could be taught to a child. And hopefully one day it will be one of the first things children learn in school. Once you have understood the basic principle of being present as the watcher of what happens inside you, and you understand it by experiencing it, you have at your disposal the most potent transformational tool. This is not to deny that you may encounter intense inner resistance to disidentifying from your pain. This will be the case particularly if you have lived closely identified with your emotional pain body for most of your life. And the whole or a large part of your sense of self is invested in it. What this means is that you have made an unhappy self out of your pain body and believe that this mind-made fiction is who you are. In that case, unconscious fear of losing your identity will create strong resistance to any disidentification. In other words, you would rather be in pain, be the pain body, and take a leap into the unknown and risk losing the familiar, unhappy self. Now, if this applies to you, observe the resistance within yourself. Observe the attachment to your pain. Be very alert. Observe the peculiar pleasure you derive from being unhappy. Observe the compulsion to talk or think about it. The resistance will cease if you make it conscious. You can then take your attention into the pain body. Stay present as the witness and so initiate its transmutation. Now only you can do this. Nobody else can do it for you. But if you are fortunate enough to find someone who is intensely conscious, if you can be with them and join them in the state of presence, that can be helpful and will accelerate things. In this way, your own light will quickly grow stronger. When a log that has only just started to burn is placed next to one that is burning fiercely, and after a while they are separated again, the first log will be burning with much greater intensity. It is the same fire. To be such a fire is one of the functions of a spiritual teacher. Some therapists may also be able to fulfill that function, provided that they have gone beyond the level of mind and can create and sustain a state of intense conscious presence while they are working with you. Now, let's talk about the origin of fear. Fear is part of our basic underlying emotional pain. How does fear arise, and why is there so much fear in people's lives? If I didn't have a fear of fire, I might put my hand in it and get burned. The reason why you don't put your hand in fire is not because of fear. It's because you know that you'll get burned. You don't need fear to avoid unnecessary danger, just a minimum of intelligence and common sense. For such practical matters, it is useful to apply the lessons learned in the past. Now, if someone threatened you with fire or with any physical violence, you might experience something like fear, an instinctive shrinking back from danger, but not the psychological condition of fear that we are talking about here. The psychological condition of fear is divorced from any concrete and true immediate danger. Here's how it activates in your life. It comes in many forms. Unease, worry, anxiety, nervousness, tension, dread, phobia, and so on. These kinds of physiological fear is always of something that might happen, not of something that is happening now. You are in the here and now, while your mind is in the future, and this creates an anxiety gap. And if you are identified with your mind and have lost touch with the power and simplicity of the now, that anxiety gap will be your constant companion. You can always cope with the present moment. But you cannot cope with something that is only a mind projection. You cannot cope with the future. Moreover, as long as you are identified with your mind, the ego runs your life, as I pointed out earlier. Because of its phantom nature, and despite elaborate defense mechanisms, the ego is very vulnerable and insecure, and it sees itself as constantly under threat. This, by the way, is the case even if the ego is outwardly very confident. Now remember that an emotion is the body's reaction to your mind. An emotion is the body's reaction to your mind. What message is the body receiving continuously from the ego, the false mind-made self? Danger. I'm under threat. And what is the emotion generated by this continuous message? Fear, of course. Now, fear seems to have many causes. Fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of being hurt, and so on. But ultimately, all fear is the ego's fear of death, of annihilation. To the ego, death is always just around the corner. In this mind-identified state, fear of death affects every aspect of your life. For example, even such a seemingly trivial and normal thing as the compulsive need to be right in an argument and make the other person wrong, defending the mental position with which you have identified, is due to the fear of death. If you identify with a mental position, then if you are wrong, your mind-based sense of self is seriously threatened with annihilation. So you, as the ego, cannot afford to be wrong, for to be wrong is to die. Wars have been fought over this, and countless relationships have broken down. But once you have disidentified from your mind, whether you are right or wrong makes no difference to your sense of self at all. So the forcefully compulsive and deeply unconscious need to be right, which actually is a form of violence, will no longer be there. You can state clearly and firmly how you feel, what you think, but there will be no aggressiveness or defensiveness about it. Your sense of self is then derived from a deeper and truer place within yourself, not from your mind. Watch out for any kind of defensiveness within yourself. What are you defending? An illusory identity, an image in your mind, a fictitious entity. By making this pattern conscious, by witnessing it, you disidentify from it. In the light of your consciousness, the unconscious pattern will then quickly dissolve. And this is the end of all arguments, all power games, which are so corrosive to relationships. Power over others is weakness disguised as strength. True power is within, and it is available to you now. So anyone who is identified with their mind and therefore disconnected from their true power, their deeper self, rooted in being, will have fear as their constant companion. The number of people who have gone beyond mind is as yet extremely small, so you can assume that virtually everyone you meet or know lives in a state of fear. The intensity, of course, varies. It fluctuates between anxiety and dread at one end of the scale, and a vague unease and a distant sense of threat at the other. Most people become conscious of it only when it takes on one of its more acute forms. The ego's search for wholeness, another aspect of the emotional pain, that is an intrinsic part of the egoic mind. It's a deep-seated sense of lack, incompleteness, not being whole. Now, in some people, this is conscious. In others, unconscious. If it is conscious, it manifests as the unsettling and constant feeling of not being worthy, of not being good enough. If it is unconscious, it will only be felt indirectly as an intense craving, wanting, needing. In either case, people will often enter into a compulsive pursuit of ego gratification with things to identify with in order to fill this hole they feel within themselves. So they strive after possessions, money, success, power, recognition, or a special relationship, basically so that they can feel better about themselves, that they can possibly feel more complete. But even when they may attain all these things, they soon find that the hole is still there, that it is a bottomless hole. Then they're really in trouble because they cannot delude themselves anymore. Well, they can and they do, but it gets more difficult. For as long as the egoic mind is running your life, you cannot truly be at ease. You cannot be at peace or fulfilled except for brief intervals when you obtained what you wanted, when a craving has just been fulfilled. Since the ego is a derived sense of self, it needs to identify with external things. It needs to be both defended and fed constantly. The most common ego identifications have to do with possessions, the work you do, your social status and recognition, your knowledge and education, physical appearance, special abilities, relationships, personal and family history, belief systems, and often also political, nationalistic, racial, religious, and other collective identifications. None of these is you. Do you find this frightening? Or is it a relief to know this? All of these things you will have to relinquish sooner or later. Perhaps you find it as yet hard to believe, and I am certainly not asking you to believe that your identity cannot be found in any of those things. You will know the truth of it for yourself. You will know it at the latest when you feel death approaching. Death is a stripping away of all that is not you. The secret of life is to die before you die, so that you find there is no death. We stop now. We pause until the next episode, which will be next week, God willing. And I thank you so much for listening. That's all for now. Marlenka signing off.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.